Okay, welcome to episode 6 of Addiction and Redemption, brought to you by Keenest Coaching. If you haven't figured it out yet, my name is Dave Keenest, and I'm the founder and CEO of Keenest Coaching. All that really means is that I'm just this dude, Dave, who coaches people's lives and business, and you can get in touch with me if you want. I've never really related to myself as a CEO, but why the hell not? And if you're thinking about making a shift in your life, or there's any place in your life that you feel stuck and you just like a little guidance on that, I'd be happy to provide some outsider perspective, complimentary, free of charge. Always offer complimentary consultations to just kind of unpack things and see where you are and see where you'd like to get and to distinguish what is in the way. And I think I've mentioned this before, but the work I do with coaching, it has very little to do with addiction. So it's not like I coach addicts through recovery or anything like that. The work I do, however, is it rests upon the notion that that possibilities exist outside of what's comfortable. So when we get stuck in our comfort zones, then we can essentially predict the future. If you stay comfortable, you can really look at your life 5 years from now and it's likely that not much will have changed, or it wouldn't be a newsflash if nothing had changed. Certainly life happens and circumstances come at us. But the more that you live on the edge of your comfort zone, the more possibilities exist for you. And that's kind of what was going on with me and my business and just kind of my life in general. I've been kind of stuck in a comfort zone. And I realized that I had this story to tell, or these stories, series of stories to tell, and that I could tell them. And of course, there's a lot of fear in that because I'm afraid of being judged and I'm afraid people won't like me. And I'm certain that I will be judged, particularly as the stories, the more graphic stories start to unfold down the road. But this is really just me moving out towards the edge of my comfort zone to see what's possible. So here we go with Addiction and Redemption. Oh yeah, I think I mentioned if you want to get a hold of me, dave@davekeenest.com. As I mentioned before, shoot me an email. And my website is davekeenest.com. It will be looking much prettier real soon, so bear with me. Anyway, back to Colorado. So the last episode, I believe, was Colorado Part 2. And I talked about how by my fifth year in college, I had started to just, you know, I'd come through a couple of heartbreaking episodes in my life. And by my fifth year, although I kind of knew what I was, who I was, I started to dabble a lot more and more. And, you know, there were nights where I did so many different drugs in an evening. It's lucky I didn't wake up dead, which would be not waking up at all, wake up in heaven or some other dimension, rather. So that's kind of how it went. I mentioned the leather jacket. I had the leather jacket. When I put the leather jacket on, I just became the F you to everything, just the fuck you to God and the universe and everybody and everything, even though I wasn't really a fuck you to anything. I was really just a scared little kid underneath it. So that year came to an end, and I had a really major falling out with one of my best friends that year over this fucking girl. And it happened in the spring, and the two of them got together. It was kind of like seen out of, what's that movie, St. Elmo's Fire? You know how when you're in your 20s, you and your friends get all incestuously close, and everybody ends up fucking one another, and people end up jealous, and everybody's drunk all the time, so it's just kind of a shit show in general, and everybody's trying to struggle to figure out who they are and that sort of thing. So I had this good friend, one of my best friends to this day, a brother, actually, Eric, and there was this girl, Katrina, and they got together in the spring after her and this other really wonderful guy broke up. And what happened was she had she mentioned to him things I had told her about him just in passing, not even like with any intention of harming anybody. But so then he told me to fuck off, and it was really, really, it was devastating for me. It really hurt so bad. And that just fueled more of the alienation that sort of existed for me on a real fundamental level, because I felt like I had lost two of my best friends at this point. And so what do I do with that? I drink and use drugs. I drink and use more drugs. And the summer came along, and he actually went away for an internship, or not an internship, like a season abroad or a study abroad thing, I think in New Zealand or Australia. And so as soon as he went away, she called me up, and we started hanging out again. And she started really fucking with my head, and I gave her my heart, and it really ended up hurting in the long run. And I was working at that place, Mishawaka, again that summer. So this is the summer after my last year in college. I graduated college, and that was weird because I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And people would ask me in the bars, like, what are you going to do next? And I would just, I want to punch him in the face, literally. I was just fucking insane with that question because I had no idea who I wanted to be or what I wanted to be. I had no idea who I was. And so I spent the summer cooking in just this gnarly, nasty kitchen. It just got worse by the day. By the time that place shut down, it was just, I was so over it. I was puking blood by the end of that summer. I was so stressed out with how everything was. It was just really awful and just partying all the time. And by this stage of my partying, I'm really into Jose Cuervo for whatever reason. I'm just drinking a fuck ton of tequila. And I drank these Chihuahua drinks, which is a Cuervo mixed with grapefruit juice. And I just get fucking shit-faced on Cuervo all the time. And this girl called me up, and we started hanging out again after my buddy had gone away, and we started partying together. And then it was like she started playing these little games with me. It felt like doing the, like, I don't know what I want kind of a thing, and I'm in love with him, but he's over there. And I just went nuts. And so next thing you know, I'm throwing my skateboard at her and punching walls and banging my head against the wall again. Right. By this time, I'm 23 years old, and there's this morning I remember I had really flipped out the night before after these nights in the bar, and one of the nights in the bar, and I was driving up to work, and I got into Poudre Canyon. As soon as I got into the canyon, I like to light up a joint. It was one of the funnest things to do. So I light up a joint, and this song by this punk rock band, Face to Face, comes on, and the breakdown of that song just goes, I'm tired of running these circles in my life. And that was one of the first times that it ever occurred to me that, like, there is a pattern of behavior that's been playing itself out in my life. There's a pattern of dysfunction, and there's a pattern of alcohol abuse, and there's a pattern of things not going so well for me romantically, and there's a pattern of heartbreak, and there's a pattern of working too hard. And it just hit me, and I remember crying when that line hit. It's like this really awesome breakdown. I still listen to that song sometimes when it comes on shuffle, and that part I pay particular attention to, because I remember the weed hit me and that song was playing, and I was just like, fuck, I'm driving up in this, you know, this 19, I think it was a 1990 Honda Accord, white Honda Accord, and just playing in the tape deck. And I remember it just hit me, and I would cook in this kitchen, and it was the most stressful job I've ever had in my entire life. And that summer went by, and all of a sudden it was fall, and I had nothing to look forward to. Right, there was like, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I'd started paying my rent by myself. My parents had cut me off, and I was doing fine with that. But it was really just like this sense of nothingness. Like, what the fuck am I going to do with this goddamn life I've been given? And so far from anything spiritual at that point, I just had no fucking clue what was going on. And the summer and fall progressed, and me and this chick are just arguing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you know, I was just so angry, and so underneath that anger was just so much sadness. I was just hurting so bad. And I just got in my car one day and I fucking left. I just drove back to Chicago. I drove all the way back to Chicago, left Colorado, didn't look back, moved back in with my parents. And actually things went really well for a while because I quit drinking, started smoking a lot of weed with my buddy Max. I'd drive down to the city from my parents' house. I'd just get baked and chill out with Max. And then I'd drive back, and I really started to think clearly, but I still had no clue what I wanted to do vocationally. I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And I got a call one day from the girl. I'm actually leaving her nameless. I don't think I've mentioned her name. Maybe I have. She might be listening anyway. But she told me that these other guys who I'd known from Fort Collins had moved to Steamboat and that they were looking for a roommate. And I immediately called them, and they said that I could move in, and I packed my shit. I spent about 6 weeks in Chicago, maybe 2 months, if that, and packed my shit, and I drove to Steamboat, Colorado, and moved in with these two guys at this house in the country and started working at this restaurant called the Coral Grill, which was its own shit show in and of itself. Pretty much all restaurants are shit shows to some extent, but I really started to get my I really started to come from a different place. I didn't drink for the first several weeks that I was there. And I would just go home after work at night and I would just smoke bongs with Jerry and this other guy. And life was good. And this is when there was a major shift because I started snowboarding. I had snowboarded before. I obviously knew how to snowboard. But I started snowboarding every day. The season finally hit. And I started riding my snowboard every day. And then I obviously worked at night in the restaurant. So I got to a point where I could ride my snowboard every day and then I could work every night. And there was this shift that took place in me. Like, I fell in love with riding this board. I got to a certain level. You know, there's a point that you reach when you're into these types of, you know, for lack of, I think extreme sports is a stupid term, but you get to a point in these pursuits where it starts to, you're not working to figure anything out. You're just fundamentally very good at it. And I'll be honest, still with me in shortboarding with surfing, shortboard surfing, I'm still struggling to figure it out. I haven't got to that clicking point, although I've had plenty of moments of bliss, but I'm still learning. But it got to this point where it just required no effort. And it's like the board was this extension of my body. And things really started to click. But after a while of working in this restaurant, what happened was I started to accept the invitations for the parties after work. And next thing I know, I'm drinking a lot. And this is when shit started to get almost next level, because what would happen is I started actually leaving work and then I would pick up a 12-pack of Bush or whatever on my way home, and I would go home and I would make a fire in the fireplace in this little cabin that I lived at it was like 10 miles outside of the it's 10 miles outside of Steamboat on this dirt road. And what I would do is I would get home and I would make a fire in this little wood burning stove, and I would just drink. And I would listen to music. There was so much music I would just absorb. I remember the Built to Spill album, Keep It Like a Secret, came out. And I would just sit and feel that album in this, like, really beautiful, drunk way. And I remember listening to some Bob Dylan albums that Jerry had. And I would just feel that music like I'd never felt music before. And there was a Lagwagon punk band, a Lagwagon album that came out called Let's Talk About Feelings. And I would just sit and feel that music. And it was, but I was so drunk. And I started getting to the point where I would kill the 12 pack and then like start drinking whatever other liquor was in the house. And I thought I was being spiritual or something. I thought I was getting this deep, deep meaning out of life. And maybe I was. I mean, it's obvious I needed to go through that phase. But it just became more and more problematic. And then what I would do is I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be hungover. But when you're 23 and you drink that much, I mean, you could wake up and pretty much go do anything. It doesn't matter. And I was only drinking beer for the most part. So I'd wake up and I'd go snowboarding. By the time I was done snowboarding, I wouldn't be hungover anymore. And I would show up to work and I would do it all over again. And so at this point, I'm starting to drink like a 12-pack a night. And then whatever, you know, I remember that my roommate had some whiskey, so I just drank all the whiskey. So I'm getting to the point where, like, whatever's in the house is, consider it empty. Consider it gone. And my life, however, was still working. Like, my life was, I was showing up to work. I was paying my bills. I was paying my rent. I was going snowboarding. So I was still in a lot of denial about the fact that alcohol had gotten a real hold on me. So I'm going to end this episode there, and it's going to get a little, in the next episode, I'm going to talk about how I started to really cross the line, and the next couple episodes are actually going to be where the real insanity of this disease of alcoholism and addiction really started to unfold and really started to lead me down a really dark path. So thanks again for listening. Always appreciate it. Once again, my name is Dave Keenest, dave@davekeenest.com, and that website is davekeenest.com. Looks like I'm going to be starting another podcast here soon. I think I'm going to call it Fascinating Talks, where I'm going to be interviewing people and finding out what makes them tick, so I'm really excited to get that out. This podcast has been kind of an introductory launch to kind of get it all started and to figure out some of the technical particulars, but I've gotten a lot of really cool reviews or a lot of good feedback for this one, so thanks for everyone or to everyone who has listened, and stay tuned for the next one. Have a beautiful night or day. Bye-bye.